Hi everyone, and welcome to the Marketing Consultation, the podcast for healthcare marketers by healthcare marketers. In the Marketing Consultation, Fabien and I are having bi-weekly conversation with top leaders from the healthcare industry to uncover their key experience, insight and advice when it comes to career development, leadership, building high-performing team, or marketing strategy and tools. Whether you are working in healthcare marketing or you are interested in this field, our goal is to help you answer the key questions and challenges to support you in your professional growth so that you can accelerate your career.
Good morning, Caroline, and welcome to the Marketing Consultation. Thank you very much for joining us this morning from the San Francisco Bay Area. We feel very honored that you accepted to record this episode with us, as we didn't know each other before, and you were actually recommended by Emily, one of our previous guest speakers. We are very excited to speak with you today and cover a specific and critical area of marketing, which is communication. So let's start with external communication. Caroline, could you share your approach to developing an external communication strategy that aligns with a company's brand and goals, especially in the healthcare and technology sector?
Thank you so much, Fabian, and really delighted to be here. And my thanks to my former colleague, Emily Song. She is delightful, and I'm so glad that we had this opportunity to chat. I think one of the things that's really important that I always try to keep in mind is, you know, there's two things. There are the business goals, you know, of an organization, which are critically, you know, important for a marketer to understand. Obviously, as a marketer, we need to drive impact, and we need to show impact, and communications is no less. Sometimes the function of communications may be seen as a softer asset, as part of the marketing mix, but it, you know, communications also needs to be extremely strategic and can actually have a tangible impact on an organization's overall marketing goals. So for me, it always starts with what are the business goals of the client or the company or the organization that I am working with. What is most important and what are the real priorities for that any given year or that given fiscal or that given period that you're working in? Because I'm a firm believer that, you know, marketers and communications professionals are very creative and they can quickly think of what I call creative solutioning and to come up with some quick ideas. But they're never going to be impactful, and you're more importantly never going to really be able to show great return on investment to the leaders in your organization unless you clearly map to business goals. So that's number one. I always want to know what are the business goals of the company, and then how do I map a marketing and a communication strategy that's going to move the needle against those goals. The second thing you mentioned is brand. And I think that's extremely relevant today, particularly within the healthcare industry, because while I would argue that most healthcare organizations certainly have very clear business goals or organizational goals and what they're trying to accomplish, brand is sometimes, you know, depending on the company, can be widely embraced or can be looked at as just a logo. And, you know, a lot of what I would call less sophisticated, healthcare marketers may think that a brand is simply a new logo or a new logo with a tagline. But as we know, a brand is so much more than that. So for me, an effective marketing and a communication strategy not only meets business goals, but also takes into consideration what is the brand of the organization? Do the marketing recommendations and the tactics, are they not only strategic, but are they aligned to what that organization stands for from a brand perspective? Because that's what creates authenticity, and that's what really creates impact.
Thanks for this very interesting perspective. How do you connect, you know, the business imperative and brand and marketing? And I'm really curious to know more about how you are leveraging the storytelling to enhance the brand and also to connect with the diverse audience. And if you have any success stories that you want to share with us.
Yeah, storytelling is everything today, right? And we're so fortunate that we have so many vehicles to be able to bring storytelling to life. Before we had all of these, you know, apps and these social media channels and all of these, you know, new technologies, storytelling was really just limited to the written word, you know, whether that be, you know, case studies that we could develop and share, or we could pitch those case studies, you know, to reporters and try to get them engaged from a broader narrative around people's lives and the people that we actually impact. And today, as you know, we have so many different vehicles, whether that be social media and videos, or now, you know, short form video is very popular, because people's attention spans, you know, are just not there. We have video where we can do kind of mini almost movies, if you will, and little kind of mini films or mini documentaries. Certainly we have all of the web, and we can use, you know, interactive platforms. So I think storytelling is so important to a brand, because that really is what brings your brand to life. And how you do that is also an ability to show how that story can be pulled through every aspect of your organization, all the way from how your CEO speaks to various audiences, you know, to your key subject matter experts, you know, to down to your sales team. So it's very, very important. I, for the last couple of years, have focused a lot on video, because that is the way to really get the emotional pull that is hard to get in pure flat print, you know, with a story. And obviously in the healthcare sector, we try to do a lot of stories about the impact, the positive impact that we have on people's lives. So often that may mean stories about, you know, patients and families, and how they, their lives have been, you know, transformed, you know, by working, you know, with our organization. Or when I was working for a digital health company, it would have been the actual users of that technology, the frontline workers, delivering care, and how that, enabled them to focus more on providing quality care rather than being, you know, bogged down, you know, with the technologies. I will share that I think one of the biggest challenges in healthcare marketing, because of privacy here, you know, in the United States, and I'm sure in Europe as well, there are quite strict privacy requirements to protect, you know, the individuals. So that can be a challenge, unlike a consumer, you know, goods company, that we always have to, you know, work around. And as a result of that, it really, I have found in my experience, takes kind of almost double the time to be able to, you know, produce a video because of the uncertainty, you know, of the patient or the family that you may be dealing with, and all of the concerns that may arise, you know, around the actual filming, you know, of a video. So I'm a big fan of video for storytelling. I think podcasts like yours are great, you know, as well, because, you know, we are natural storytellers biologically. We all like to tell stories. And so I think that's why podcasts, you know, have been so popular. Sometimes difficult, again, to do in the healthcare, you know, environment. But video, certainly, if you can swing that, I think that's really great. And one other challenge I think I might flag for any of your listeners, which I'm sure they well know, is that social media and video, I think you really need to think about your audience. And, you know, are social media channels truly reaching your audience? Sometimes it's very easy as a marketer to get excited about a new social media channel, you know, or a new social platform, but that doesn't mean that your audience is there. So I think it really begs a discipline to be able to make sure that, you know, if you're going to do video and if you're thinking about doing it for social, just make sure that your audience is there, because we know that, you know, video production is, takes a lot of resources and a lot of time, and you just may not get the same ROI, as you would perhaps for, you know, a direct-to-consumer company.
Caroline, could you share with us how you measure the success of an external communication strategy and what key performance indicators you prioritize?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Fabienne. I think it all starts with, again, you know, we talked earlier about what are your organization's business goals, right? And you may have brand goals, brand awareness goals as well. So I think it always starts from there. And, you know, if your marketing strategy and your marketing campaign is mapping to those goals, then of course you're going to have very clear metrics. And it may be, you know, against brand awareness. It may be against increasing, you know, employee engagement and turning into, you know, advocates on social media. It may be reaching a certain number of influencers that are very important to connect with and to get them aware, you know, of your organization. So the goals can be varied. But I think it's really important, again, to map back to those business goals and those brand strategy goals as well. And then that all stems in understanding who you are targeting, as I said earlier, right? Social media is kind of that wild, wild west, because I think sometimes we get confused and think that social media is kind of the organization's overall brand. Therefore, it's important that we always be present on those platforms. I would say in the past couple of years, I've really limited my social media outreach, if you will, only to very select platforms where I think that our buyer or our influencer is going to be. But I don't tend to over-index on spending a lot of time on it, because as you know, once you start supporting a social media channel, that in itself can become a full-time job for any one individual. So I guess in short, I would say if you have identified a social media channel that is, you know, highly targeted to your audience, just know going in that you're going to have to support that pretty frequently on an ongoing basis and put the resources against it accordingly.
Let's switch to the internal communication, which is also, you know, one of your expertise area. And can you tell us about how an effective internal communication contributes to cultivating a positive organizational culture and also employee engagement?
Yes, this is really a passionate topic for me, because I think, you know, not all communications professionals have direct purview over internal communications, you know, as well. Depending on your role in the organization, you may have purview over both external and internal communications, which in my personal view is ideal because they are not two separate and parallel channels, right? To me, if you have a marketing campaign or a communications campaign that you're trying to run, you can't just focus on the external audience. And today, it's almost as critical to focus on the internal component of that campaign. And why do I say that? It's because all of our internal constituents and our employees, they are all essentially brand advocates and carriers, you know, for the organization's reputation. They all have lives outside of their company, or their organization. You know, they're on social media, they're talking to friends. And so they are an important constituent. And so if you are doing a major campaign, if internal communications doesn't report up into you, you know, you very likely have to have a very strong relationship with the head of the internal communications team so that you can align and make sure that your messages, you know, are in sync, especially if it comes around, if it's situated around a major business announcement. It's super critical that internal constituents, you know, are part of that overall communications rollout plan. Also become very central, because sometimes the sensitivity that's involved with certain types of business announcements, you know, that may be made, you know, whether that be a merger and acquisition, or whether that be a major, you know, new business development, or even a major, you know, rebrand. So internal communications is very, very important and important for the external communications lead and the internal communications lead to be in lockstep.
Yeah, I fully agree with you, Caroline. And I feel sometimes in our world, internal communication is a little bit neglected beyond this big company or business announcement. And Sometimes I feel like we just use like very traditional channels like emails to address internal employees. So do you have any advice or idea of technology and digital platforms that could be used to enhance internal communication and collaboration across the organization?
You know, it's an interesting question, Fabian, because we do, I was saying earlier, we do have so many different types of platforms now to communicate, correct? But it's almost so many. And I think with internal communications, you know, obviously email is, you know, a big one for a lot of companies and organizations to rely upon because of the ease of getting a consistent message out, you know, through one email throughout an entire, you know, organization. But I think I've also found that, you know, employees like all of us are very busy. Have hundreds of thousands of emails to look at every single day. And so you really just can't rely upon that. And it's almost more important to be able to, you know, go back to having town halls or what we call town halls in the United States or all team meetings or all staff meetings. You know, that seems to be something kind of sacrilegious to talk about now coming out of COVID and, you know, everyone in the workforce wanting to move toward kind of a virtual, you know, work environment. But there is nothing like meeting with employees in person creating an open forum for employees to be able to feel like their questions, their questions are seen and heard, and that leadership is open to listening and to answering, you know, direct questions as much as possible. So I do think that, you know, email certainly, you know, is efficient. I know a lot of companies use their intranet systems as well. You know, to post regular, you know, updates, for employees. Some larger companies also have their own internal kind of, you know, web kind of like TV stations, and so forth. And there's newsletters. But I'm a big fan for major, announcements, of, ensuring that there are ample times for face-to-face meetings, you know, with leaders, to be able to, demonstrate a spirit of transparency, authenticity, and more importantly, for employees to be seen and heard and truly valued.
Thanks, Caroline, for sharing all this great insights. I just have a follow-up question. Maybe at the level of, let's say, a business unit within a bigger company, would you recommend to have like an internal communication plan for the year or let's say for 6 months? Or do you see that more as ad hoc thing that the business would do based on, to your point, like new product launches, company news, etc.?
You know, I think it depends on the structure, quite frankly, you know, of the organization. I think that if the in my experience, some internal communications functions roll up into human resources. So that individual, if that individual is reporting into a chief people officer, that individual would probably, yes, very much create an internal communication strategy and a plan for the year. And that would be in line with the overall kind of employee engagement plan set by the chief people officer, or, you know, the chief human resources officer. If the function rolls up into, you know, communications and or marketing, it would naturally be in sync with the larger, you know, marketing plan. And to give you an example of that, because I had that in both functions in my last capacity, and how it worked was that, you know, I worked very closely with our internal communications manager around not only key announcements for the company, which were obviously important from an employee and an employee, you know, transparency, you know, perspective, but also around, you know, major marketing campaigns that we were doing. If we felt that they were important enough where they touched employee engagement as well, then we would always weave in the internal communication strategy as part of that overall, you know, marketing strategy. But it really depends on the organization. You know, the larger the organization, they very likely have larger teams. So they are probably, you know, each rolling up into, you know, an officer that is, developing an overall kind of strategy, for that organization. So the key becomes, I think, on the larger side, the key becomes if you have two, you know, separate kind of plans going for the year, hopefully they align and they roll up into the bigger business plan. But if they are not in some way, it's still a good practice to make sure that you, proactively outreach to the head of the internal communications lead and to be able to say, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, what do you have coming for the coming year? Is there anything that, you know, we should be aware of so that we can incorporate into our plan? Or is there anything that, you know, that you might want to be aware of that we're working on from a broader kind of like brand or external marketing strategy that would be, you know, a value and increase, you know, employee pride or employee engagement or just even employee, you know, excitement about what we're doing.
It's interesting to look how you are balancing the proactive, the structure, and also the flexible approach. Would like to switch to another topic. In Europe, we are often looking to California as being the early trendsetter regarding new dynamics, and you are one of the child of this amazing state. And I'm really curious to see what are the emerging trends that you're observing in the field of communication, and how is it shaping the way organizations interact with their stakeholders.
Yes. This is just my personal opinion. And maybe it's because I've worked in, you know, communications for so many years, probably too many years that I'd like to admit. And I've seen all of the technologies, you know, kind of like come and go, all of the different phases. So as I said early, we're living in such an exciting time, right? I mean, the sophistication of the technologies that are available to us, you know, like AI, which has just skyrocketed over the past couple of years. And quite honestly, from the outside, I never really thought that AI would really touch, you know, the marketing function, in the way that it has. And just because I think it just happened so quickly. It started as you hearing about it on social media and, you know, calling, you know, talking about it. And then, you started to see webinars on it, and it just seemed like it just creeped up, you know, on everyone. And now it's very much a big part of, a marketer's lives. I think it's wonderful to be able to have the technology to help with things, such as I know, you know, AI is being used to generate first rounds of copy, for instance, to enhance a draft copy, you know, certainly, you know, to do research, on anything, any type of content, that you may have to, prepare. Where I caution and where I get a little nervous is that it has become so pervasive that I feel that we're losing a little bit of the authentic voice and, you know, the real rigor that was put in before by previous, you know, writers or communications leads or marketers or, you know, even executives to that point of really kind of being auto-generated content. So I think from my perspective, I would want to make sure that it is used, you know, technologies like AI are used in the right way, but it still begs a really thorough edit. You know, going back again to my earlier comment about a brand and the importance of a brand and what you stand for and that permeating through all of your content. And I think it's dangerous when we just over rely on technologies to auto-generate content because we want to move faster. But the price we pay for that is that we lose the authentic voice. And that may be an old school kind of comment, from myself. And it may not be the prevailing view, of a younger marketing generation. But those are the things I think that give me pause and to say, you know, at what cost are we utilizing all of these technologies so that we can go faster and faster and faster? But as a result of that, are we, you know, kind of commoditizing words? And, you know, are we just not only losing our true, you know, personality and our brand and our authenticity, but also the uniqueness of who we are as an organization? So it's a trade-off. And I think, you know, like everything, you cannot not use it because you have to keep up with the times and you have to know how to integrate it well. But I think it does take a discipline to be able to say, to be able to make sure that you're not overusing it or over-relying on it. And again, where does that fit into your overall communications, you know, strategy? Because it may not be appropriate for every single piece of content that you're preparing.
Yeah, I think this is so true what you're saying, Caroline, and I don't think this is old school at all. I really believe in the power of words and the importance of words and the ability of words to really convey a specific identity and, as you said, authenticity. So I think it's a really, really important statement that you're making around making sure that we have a balanced approach and using AI and this kind of technology for the right things and the right content. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. Moving, I think there is a link to AI, but it can also be done without AI. AI will just make it faster, but I would like to talk about personalized communication. So as you know, Greg and I work in medical device, and I think medical device overall is probably a little bit late versus other industry in really driving that personalized communication to our customers. So what I would like to know is maybe how do you think personalized communication is important in the field of healthcare and health technology? And how do you think it's going to influence engagement with both internal and external audiences?
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic around personalization, right? I think, again, we have so many technologies to be able to learn and to be able to understand our buyer or our user. But yet we tend because of the speed at which business goes and the effort that goes around, a new product, you know, let's say a development, like let's say in your field of medical device, right? So much energy goes into that product development and thinking about the features and, you know, the benefits of that particular product. What I've seen on the digital health side is an over-index on just generalizing those product benefits to every audience. And I think that the more sophisticated marketers really spend a little bit more time thinking about developing brand personas and really understanding that even amongst your buyers, you know, there are various different types of buyers and they have different types of personalities and they have different types of needs. And I think the more sophisticated marketers do that work and really make sure that they are customizing and personalizing those product, you know, communication benefits to meet the, not just the immediate physical needs of that buyer, but also the emotional needs. And meeting, you know, that buyer. But I think that it's a difficult thing to do when you're working in a very fast-paced environment. You know, a lot of effort, as I said, goes into the product messaging and, you know, the product benefits. And then to take it one level further does require more investment of resources, does require a little bit more time. But we know that when we look at the consumer, you know, goods, or brand, large retail brands, we know that this is what they do very well. And that they understand, you know, the emotional underpinning of that buyer and they understand how to message, accordingly to the needs of that buyer. So I think when I look at healthcare, you know, overall, that's one of the biggest challenges. You know, is how do we not just get to the immediate product or service benefit, but how do we really tap into, you know, the emotion underneath that and make sure that we're pulling that up?
Yeah. And I totally agree with you with the challenges of resources. And I see that in my team. So we are regularly tempted to run some research to create and find some personas for our customers. But then what happens if we don't have the capacity and the resources to tailor the messaging and the assets? It's not really going to help us in any way. So we need to find that tipping point where we can really increase our ability to tailor these messages and to create these multiple assets. And I don't think we're there yet, but I think the need is really increasing and things are going to move in that direction.
And one thing I might add to that, Fabian, is I do think that when you do have limited resources, again, I keep going back to discipline, and I keep going back to having the conversations with executive stakeholders to say, you know, we may have 10 buyers for this product, right? But who are the top three? And how do we focus really on, you know, targeting to those three buyers in a strategic way? I'm not a fan of kind of what I call the peanut butter approach in terms of spreading the peanut butter across the entire, I would say baguette, you know, in this case. Maybe I should say jam instead of peanut butter. But, you know, I think that's very often what happens is that, you know, we get very excited. Our leaders get very excited about products. We see so much potential for so many industries or so many different types of, you know, users and buyers for this product or this service. And, you know, really, again, I say going back to the research and saying, okay, well, where is the biggest impact? Who is the most likely buyer that's going to help drive revenue, you know, for this organization? And those are the ones we need to focus on first. And those we need to really understand and do well. And then we can continue, right, to add on. But I think, especially what I've seen in health tech, and that may be the influence of the technology industry, is, you know, there is a tendency to go quite wide. And sometimes that may be because we're not sure about who the exact buyer is yet, if it's an early stage product. So again, we're trying to kind of peanut butter it across and see what sticks. But, you know, good old market research should tell us, if we have the discipline, and, you know, we spend some time thinking about it, you know, who is the most likely? How do we then target and how do we be effective? Because as we know, we also, talked a little bit in a separate conversation about, the power of integrated communications campaigns. And so if we have to develop integrated marketing campaigns that encompass everything or a lot of different aspects in the marketing mix, that's a lot of coordination. And that's a lot of alignment to happen, you know, from a content perspective, you know, from a resource perspective, from an ad spend perspective, from an earned media perspective. So it can become quite unwieldy if you don't, you know, if you aren't really laser focused on who you're speaking to.
I think what you're mentioning about discipline, focus and targeting, you know, it's the roots of marketing and also in communication, but, you know, often forgotten. It's good to remind that. Caroline, we'd like to switch to the next section of our podcast, which is about the behind-the-scenes question, because we'd like to know a little bit more about you, and I'm sure it would be great for our audience also. And I have two, three questions for you. The first one is about, you know, how do you stay focused and motivated? Do you have a best-kept secret to share with us?
Yes. You know, it's funny that you bring up this question, Greg, because I think, you know, having led marketing and communications for so many years, and especially coming from the technology industry, and then most recently, you know, in digital health and health tech, speed is everything, right? We are high producers. We move fast. We do a lot of volume. And I think one thing that I learned quite profoundly this year is the power of presence. And I think that when we are moving very quickly, we are losing every day the opportunity to truly be present. And so if we are not present, then we cannot really be focused, right? We cannot give our all to our teams. We cannot give our all to our clients because our minds are just going all the time. And I learned this the hard way, actually, myself this year. And so it seems like a simple thing is, you know, how do you stay focused? I think it's extremely hard for all of us to stay focused today because we're constantly inundated with social media. We're constantly inundated with news everywhere we go. And we're just 24/7 on. So I would say, ironically, to stay focused, you have to basically turn off and you have to really cultivate presence. And how I've forced myself to do that is to really make sure that, you know, I get away from my desk, you know, during the day and just take a quick walk, you know, around the block. Or I do deep breathing, you know, before I go into a meeting, and I try to make sure that I'm not back to back to back meetings, and I build in some time so that I can be present and I can kind of just ground myself and just get my mind, you know, in the right place. But it's a very hard thing to learn when you're used to going very, very fast and you're used to priding yourself in being a high producer.
And the concept of, you know, the power of the real presence and the intentionality is, you know, super insightful. Thanks for sharing. We have all something to take out of that. Next question is about what's the book that was has impacted you?
Wow, there are so many books out there right now, right? I think I have about 10 on my nightstand of ones that I want to read during the holiday break. But as I think about this, I think the one book that really, it's quite an old book, and I read it many years ago. But it was the one business book, and perhaps one of the first business books, that really gave me hope. And it was the book, Let My People Go Surfing. I'm going to butcher his name, Yvon Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia. And he wrote a book about how he was able to build his company into a very successful one, but also by respecting and honoring its employees and really letting them, you know, have a sense of life and work balance. And I remember when it came out that it was just so different than any business book that had been written at that time. And it really made me hopeful to think it is possible, you know, it is possible to create the right type of corporate environment that still values its employees, that has a sense of integrity, that cares for the planet, that wants everyone to win in the, you know, in the road to success. And it was just profoundly impactful for me in reading that book.
We'll add that one on the reading list. And the last question for today, it's about, is there any specific person that truly inspire you in your professional or personal life?
You know, I think I saw this during COVID, and we always like to look up to a hero or a heroine, and one individual that does like amazing things, and really supernatural amazing things. I think what I've really learned, as I've gotten older is that, you know, the hero and the heroine is the everyday person. In healthcare, it's the frontline worker. You know, it's the person that shows up to work every day to give of themselves because they truly care and are passionate about the people. They want to take care of people. They want people to have quality care. And these individuals are just amazing. And I think we don't hear enough about their stories, about how they touch so many people's lives. And that's who really I feel inspired by.
Oh, thank you so much, Caroline, for sharing this. And we really enjoyed the conversation today. I really felt that we got a very insightful comms lesson, and I will carefully re-listen to it to make sure that we didn't miss anything. We're very grateful for your time on this Sunday morning for you. We know you're super busy, especially as you just started recently a new job. So thanks again for this time and for everything you shared with us today. To our audience, if you would like to reach out to Caroline, you can contact her on her LinkedIn profile. So thank you, Caroline.
Thank you for having me. It was great fun.
And that brings us to the end of today's episode. We hope you found this discussion informative and insightful. We encourage you to continue the conversation and stay connected with us on LinkedIn and Instagram at The Marketing Consultation. If you have any questions or topics you would like us to cover in the future episode, please do not hesitate to reach out. We need your help to grow the marketing consultation community and have more healthcare marketers benefiting from the experience and advice of our speaker. Please feel free to share with your network and also to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. This is super important to increase our visibility. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to bringing you more insight and ideas from top healthcare leaders in our next episode.